Organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. And while you're on the website, make sure you click on the tab that says The Code. That way you can learn more about the 12 codes of conduct that PACS Inc. have created to help Black America work more as a cohesive unit and to create mindsets and attitudes and cultural and social norms that are built toward Black liberation. So make sure you check out PACS Inc. Also, while you're online, make sure you visit our website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about myself, Jamie, and Patrick, and listen to the playbacks of your favorite shows, learn more about your guests, and also be in the know on the new shows that we have coming up these upcoming weeks. So make sure you be in the loop. Follow us on Twitter at FreedomTrainNet. Follow us on Instagram at FreedomTrainNetwork. Like our Freedom Train Facebook page. Subscribe to the Freedom Train on YouTube, and also subscribe to the Freedom Train on iTunes or Google Play Music. That way you get episodes coming directly to your phone, and you ain't got to go searching for them. Yeah. What up, Jamie?
What's happening, man? What we got?
Hey, man. Before we get into the show, as I mentioned, new upcoming show. So, if you don't mind, I'll tell the folk about a new upcoming show that you're going to be a part of that's on the Freedom Train Network.
So what we getting together, man, we got Cognac Conversations coming down the pipe. We're working on that, and pretty much it's just a lot of things from two guys' perspective coming on. We just kicking game, kicking a little bit of shit, too, and just talking with folks, man. That's the main thing, starting conversations, getting different perspectives. You're going to learn a little bit. You're going to probably be mad at us a little bit, going through different hot takes, talking about different hot topics. And just centering everything around one focal point on each show and just getting y'all feedback for the most part. And that's what's really driving the show is us talking and getting feedback and going with it for the next show. So tune in to that. That's coming out soon. So it's gonna be good.
An Audio Gentlemen's Club and the Cognac Conversation. So make sure y'all stay on the lookout for that. I myself have a new show, a sports show called The Fix, which is sports from the black perspective. And it's not just about sports, it's sports, hip-hop, culture, life, politics, all the things that surround sports and that are involved within sports. And, you know, I give my perspectives and my outlooks and, you know. So tune in. The first show is going to actually come out this Thursday, the 7th. That's when you get the first episode, of The Fix. So make sure you tune in to the Freedom Train Network for that, hosted by myself, Joseph Ward. So, and Patrick has a new show coming as well that he's going to be a part of. So I guess when he get back with us, we'll let him explain that to you. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get to what we're talking about today, man. So we had a lot that go on since we last had a social discussion.
Man, too much has went on since we last had a social discussion. So let's get it off.
Yeah, amen. But, you know, real quick, remember to go back to the Freedom Train website and check out our interviews surrounding mental health awareness. We had 3 great interviews and 1 great discussion. We even had a live discussion. We have the video on our website as well as the audio up. So make sure you go check that out. But I want to start with now people are taking down the statues of the Confederate so-called heroes.
Alright.
Give me your takes on the sudden shift of focus to taking down statutes from protesting and you know, wanting justice and equality and all those things there.
So, I'll be honest. I really don't care if the statues stand or not. It really doesn't matter to me. And some people might agree and disagree with that, and that's fine. But to me, the taking down of a statue to me signifies what should be a regime change, an actual change in law, a change in
right.
a lot
right.
of different things. So just by simply taking down Robert E. Lee statues does not change the what we're facing in America and our justice
right.
system and this, this, that, and the other. From the, you know, the surface, it might feel good, you know, throwing us a little bone here and there, but does that really solve our problems with, you know, police brutality, the problems in the justice system, whatever the case may be? It doesn't. It's one of those, it really, when you look at it, it doesn't mean much. It might mean something in the moment, and, you know, we have a habit of getting caught up in those flash moments of caring about stuff we really don't really care about. But I think if you're going to remove all these statues, what laws are following up all these statues and all these things being removed? Because if the laws don't shift and the other things don't follow the removal of these statues, then pretty much you just got a downtown with no monument in it, and the same stuff is going to go on. So I get it. I really do. I get the, you know, the emotion behind it. You know, we shouldn't have statues up to a bunch of losers, and that's what the Confederacy is. It's not a culture. It's not a way of life. And if you feel this, it's like the Confederacy is a culture or a way of life, then you're just on the wrong side of history. You're a loser. You're a damn a traitor. That's what the Confederacy represented. Death, murder, genocide, all those horrible things. So, hate to say it, but if you're listening to this and you're one of those Confederate-loving people, your great-granddad or whoever the case may be, they were just on the wrong side of history. You don't see in Germany, you know, people that support the Nazi flag are extremists, people that are part of hate groups, this, this, and that. Germany as itself does not embrace anything that had to do with the Hitler era. So I get why everybody's up in arms about it, but I really don't care. But because just removing those statues doesn't change what we're facing in America.
Man, those statues are moral victories.
Fact.
And more victories don't show up in the win and loss column. And you can say we've learned a lot from this game or from this victory, but that's all still rhetoric. There's no fact behind that. So the taking down, like you said, the taking down the statues without a total regime change don't mean nothing. It's the same thing as that lady climbing that pole to take down the Confederate flag. It didn't help nothing. It didn't change anything. We were still dying. Like, black people are still dying. So, like in this city, in this town, Tallahassee, Florida, I've been living here all my life. Never knew it was. Did you know it's a Confederate statue in front of the old Capitol? You used to live here.
Yeah,
you know
I did not.
So our opportunist self-ass mayor decided to jump on this opportunity to propose to take down this Confederate statue that nobody really knew was there. Instead of using that money to actually fix the size of town and to put invest money into the size of town that needed not gentrification,
right,
but true revitalization. Because in this city, what they call revitalization is really gentrification. So let me tell you one of the tricks that happened. So one of the politicians, they gave him money, $10 million, to fix the south side. So when you get in the town and you look, the way the city is divided, anything south of Tennessee Street is south side. So they fixed more of the business districts and built up more of the business districts of the south side rather than the actual neighborhoods. So it's rhetoric, wordplay, trickery, all these things here. But the money that they're going to use to tear down these statues in these various cities could be used to build up these poor communities.
Absolutely.
They invest in these poor communities, but they're wasting time. And not opportunist as soft-ass mayor, who trying to be an opportunist as soft-ass governor, trying to jump on that.
Yo,
right.
You go catch hell calling because everybody thinks Gilliam is
man.
Like
look,
the next
look,
coming.
Look, oh, look, man. Fucking,
I'm just saying. A lot of people love that guy. They can't justify it, but I've heard
you
a lot of people.
They can't tell me. Look, it ain't just him, but he's the one trying to be at the forefront of this statue thing. But we've in this city specifically, we've had two black males in the South Side and the North Side. The parts, the specific towns where the black people live are getting worse.
That's a fact.
So I don't want to hear that shit. I don't want to hear. You can sit there and argue about it all you want. You can like who you want to like. But don't be trying to tell me I'm wrong when I'm in these neighborhoods on a regular basis. And I can see that getting worse. Like I'm in Joe Lewis, I'm in Griffin Heights the other day, Basin Street. And I'm talking to a dude in the neighborhood. He's telling me how the Board of Education shut down the community center in the neighborhood.
Damn.
So, I mean, don't sit here and try to give me no bull about these mayors and these politicians, especially these people who are wasting money on bringing down statutes who don't mean nothing. Once you put that money into doing something real, like they got these mentorship programs, but the kids who need these mentorship programs not getting mentored.
And another part to that, taking down the statue, to me, honestly, leave it up. Who cares? Like you said, that's a wasted resource of money. And plus, if you're actually teaching your kids about history, you could point to that statue and say, this is the wrong thing. This is it. And a lot of the people that are opponents to taking down the statue, that's the thing. They're like, oh, you can't erase history, this, that, and the other. Leave it up. Let people see the how America was built. America wasn't built off loving and caring and stuff like that. America was built off slavery, racism, hatred, and all that good stuff. That's why America has accumulated so much wealth as a nation. So to me, those statues, yeah, well, they might create some an emotion in you, but you could use that as a teaching opportunity. And to me, if you look how they teach history right now, you know what I'm saying, whether you remove the statues or not, kids still going to believe the Civil War was just some nice and polite thing. That's how they're trying to make it out to be, not so much about, you know, what the Confederacy was truly about, what they were trying to preserve. So who gives a shit?
I mean, it's just, you know, it's once again a waste of time, a waste of energy, a waste of resources, things that could be poured back into the actual community to help the community get better, rather than trying to get these more victories and just trying to get more fanatical black people on your side.
It's fake caring. I don't get it. It's fake caring. That's all it is. People, you know, and we got to stop. And we had a show about that before where people got to stop going with the flow of Twitter, black Twitter, quote unquote, or soul trolls, and just jumping on these bandwagons and really not understanding what the means is. If the means is just taking down the statue, okay, who cares? But if the means is we're going to change some laws, we're going to do this, X, Y, and Z, where we can actually change the system of which we're being oppressed in, then I can get behind that. But if it's just taking down a statue, man, I don't give a damn. It has nothing to do with the price of tea in China. Like, stop it.
Yeah, that's not going to stop white supremacy.
It's not. But one thing to this is it's bringing a lot of people to the forefront that, you know, why are you protecting these statues, this, that, and other. So I get that part. It might flush out people we need to keep a side eye on, but at the end of the day, to me, it's really not that big of a deal whether the statues stand or not. They're losers. Let's just call them what they are. They're losers.
But it's such a waste of time and it's such a distraction for us in our community to actually be clearly worried about pulling down some statues when we have bigger fish to fry. Like, they're actually killing us. And y'all worried about pulling down statues. How about, motherfucker, we're trying to stay alive.
Yes. Damn the statue. Statue ain't killing nobody. That joker's sitting wherever it's at. It's the people that's out there that are actually running these systems that actually have power over your life that we need to be concerned about.
And let's also focus on, building, organizing, liberation. like these things, like actually being there, actually building something independent and for ourselves, and being able to protect ourselves and gaining our independence, because we forget about that aspect of being able to protect ourselves once we get off the grid, so to speak, and all just doing all these other things. So you still have to be able to protect yourself, because remind the people that white supremacy is global and it's layered. It's not just one thing. You can't just see it one way. You can't just think about it one way. Like I did the video earlier today that I'm going to post on YouTube today about the psychology of white supremacy and racism. Like, people got to understand the psychology of the people that we're dealing with. Y'all talking down statutes, but these savages, like, two things you're doing. You're inciting these savages with taking down these statutes, and we're not really ready for them problems. And you are distracting yourself from the original purpose of being able to protect yourself and liberate yourself. Like, these people have studied us and studied us and studied us. The field of psychology was created so they can actually do more study on black people. Like these medical fields, like a lot of these medical fields were created off of the inhumane studies of black people. Like, they were lab rats. So, I mean, we got to be able to really look at the stuff that we're looking at, I mean, that we're dealing with, and not just keep going for these moral victories, not keep saying, well, this is better than nothing. No, but you're still getting nothing with that. Like, yeah. What are we gaining? Like, 15 years from now, if we're still talking about the same issues, who the hell cares that a statute? Like, think about it. Civil rights laws were passed, and we still have the same issues that we had back in those days. The only difference is white progress is more apparent and abundant now than it has ever been. Right. And what we call black progress is white progress.
And just to that point, man, like you said, racism, the system of white supremacy in which we live in America, taking down the statues just point blank isn't going to change that. And it is a distraction, and that's why it's important that we understand the codes of conduct that we need to have. Let them keep the statues. If we don't own our own community, what the hell we care about a statue on the other side of town about? You know, if we don't control the business, the economics in our own communities, we shouldn't even be concerning ourselves issues too much of a difference. So, to me, it's just like stop fake caring about flash issues, to which y'all going to care about for a hot 2 weeks, then after a while it's just going to dissipate. And all that energy that could be put into something that actually helps the situation, changes the environment, just goes to waste. That's all it is.
Straight up.
But, I don't know, man. Keep the damn statues. Spray paint on them. Who gives a damn? Like, I don't care. I hate, like, when people, I've been asked this, like, what do you think about, I really don't care. Like, that does not affect me. Don't go downtown and see the damn statue, number one. Number two, focus on what we can control at this point. Focus on what you can do every day on a day-to-day basis, and focus on that. Stop worrying about the statue. That's, to me, that's just a little small, throw you a bone, I feel good about myself, moral victories, like you said before. That's it.
Man, look at her.
Hey,
I'm about to do a shameless plug, and I don't care. My book is available. www.ontheshouldersone.com. On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 2, Central America. It's available. So make sure you get your copy. It's available in Kindle. It's available on audiobook, and it's available in print. If you want the print, you visit my website, www.ontheshouldersone.com, and that way you can get you a book. Or you can visit my nonprofit site, www.ontheshoulders.org. You can get you a book. You can get you a shirt. Got On the Shoulders of Giants shirt. So I just want to say, let y'all know, yep, I did it. So what?
Hey, man, please go support the book. And also, while we're talking about books, if people really want to understand, it's two things you mentioned earlier, Joe. Books, that's number one, and psychology. If you really want to understand the psychology of racism, white supremacy, whatever the case may be, the ISIS Letters by Dr. Frances Cress Welsin is a great book to help you understand, because racism isn't just about I don't like you because you're simply black and we don't like black, this, this, that, and other. There's a whole history, psychology, where they studied us, they understand us, and based on the genetics and other types of things, is reason why there's racism and why it exists and why it will continue to exist. So people, stop, again, stop falling for the little okey-doke. Actually educate yourselves. Get Joe's book. Get all these books and arm yourself with that knowledge.
Also study Dr. Amos Wilson. Yes. Wilson. Study him, study him, study him. Like, I mean, like you just said, racism and prejudice don't have nothing to do with white people not liking black people. It's white people saw a weakness and exploited the weakness. They saw black people as weak and less than human and knew they had the superiority and the vastness to exploit them, and that's what they did. It had nothing to do with like and dislike.
Yeah, like the genetics parts of it, I never really understand until I actually started studying and understanding the how genetics played a role in racism and all that kind of stuff. Because you listen to, even when it happened in Charlottesville, you actually listen to what those guys were saying. They're afraid they're going to be wiped off the planet. They're going to be wiped off their own land. Blood and soil and all that kind of stuff. A lot of it, they fear, you know, black people. Go ahead.
But see, that's why you got to study white people. Dr. John Henry Clark told you to study white people. Study white history. Also, like, start listening to these outlets. White people feed each other that rhetoric. They feed each other the rhetoric that black people want to kill them. They tell each other that black people want to destroy them. They tell each other that black people are out to hunt them and take over and take all the resources and take all the jobs and take all this thing. They tell each other that. That's why when you hear a white boy saying these things, you like, man, where they get this from? Like, that don't happen. And yeah, it sounds stupid, but that's what they tell themselves, because that's a part of the fear of genetic annihilation. That's their so-called survival methods. That's what they do. That's the mode that they're in. So we got to understand what we're dealing with when it comes to white supremacy and the people that we're dealing with. And they are willing to do any and everything to destroy us. So we got to stop trying to, like, it's like you treating a full grown lion like it's a puppet. You trying to pet it, and when it bites you, you're mad and you don't understand. Like, stop that. Like, black people's one of our biggest problems is we are trying to treat people who are not humane in the humane way.
Right.
White supremacists are not humane. White supremacists are not rational. Like, you're not going to drive out hate with love. Like, show me one nation of people who got true independence from another people who was violently aggressive to them, and they drove and they defeated those people with love. Show me that in real life. Show it to me. Like, they got true independence.
And with that, just to kind of like to wrap that all up, that's why people really got to study, man, to understand these different concepts. Because it's not about being angry and just getting involved in emotional arguments like statues. That's really a distraction. If you really start studying and understanding what our elders have been saying to us, you will start, you know, okay, now I need to go about my life X, Y, and Z, taking care of this X, Y, and Z, instead of just getting mad at every little flash issue. And I remember when I first came into it, yeah, everything, you know, you're real sensitive, but once you really start getting into that knowledge and understanding what's going on around there, you can kind of separate things and understand it, and from that, you know how to react to different situations. Who gives a fuck about a statue? Right. Fuck your statue. That's my thing. I ain't got a statue, so fuck it. I just said fucking like five times, but
yeah, you did.
My bad.
Need to expand your vocabulary, mister.
Yeah. Hey, people that say people that curse that they're not intelligent, that's fuck shit. I just curse because I don't feel like saying a bunch of fucking words to describe what I'm feeling.
I curse because I like it. I like cursing.
I'm sorry. Beat me out when you edit this, Joe. Damn.
Hey man, look. My vocabulary is pretty extensive, and I just like to cut. But moving on from talking about the statutes to, we got too many people trying to be remembered and trying to be heroes in our community. And that has to stop.
The
motivation behind your activism can't be that you want to be remembered. That's bullshit. Nobody wants to remember you just because you want to be remembered. Like, stop trying to be famous off the struggle. Just do the work that needs to be done and move on. You don't have to try to post pictures. Like, if you're the person out there that's trying to help people and you have to post pictures of, like, come borrow $20 from me and can't pay your $20 back, and I got to help you in this and help you that. Let me film you. Let me film myself helping you. You're not going to like that. So stop trying to win the Humanitarian of the Year award and just help people.
So here's a lot of things, man. It's a lot of people becoming celebrities off, you know, what we're dealing with. I ain't going to say names because that's tacky, but you know who they are. They all on, you know, Instagram. One minute they, you know, they advocating for, you know, black people need this. The next thing you know, they're selling T-shirts or modeling, whatever the case may be. That's kind of corny. I like when people show what they're doing in the community, but you can also tell somebody's motivation about how they go about it. So if you're one of those people, you just hand $2 to a damn somebody on the street who you feel is struggling and got to take a picture of you giving back, that ain't doing nothing. To the real people that are out there that are, you know, doing positive things, when they come out in the, you know, the public, like, hey guys, this is what I'm doing, it's just to the simple fact if they're trying to bring more people and motivate those people to help them in their efforts, I have no issue with that. So, like, all the people right now, everybody's aware of what's going on in Houston right now. A lot of people don't understand how severe that situation is. The fallout really hasn't happened yet because a lot of families are going back and seeing that they have nothing to go back to. Their job is gone, X, Y, and Z. So in the coming weeks, we're going to really see the fallout of Hurricane Harvey. So what you have people, who, celebrities, let's be honest, celebrities, you know, going around, you know, playing big bank, little bank, I challenge you to put this money up. That's corny. That's corny. At the end of the day, you ain't got to put it on social media to this, this, that, and the other. And secondly, if you're really trying to help the people, won't you start something up versus just giving it to Red Cross? And let's be honest, Kevin Hart did the whole challenge where he's challenged celebrities, this, this, that, and the other. Don't try to, you know, get in the spotlight because, you know, people are hurting right now. And I know
that's that bullshit.
Exactly. And my thing is, it's like, yo, okay, you challenged everybody, but half these people you're challenging, you got their phone number, you got their contact. Won't you get together, get some boots on the ground, get some people together, and you go do that. And to me, donating to the Red Cross, like, I was going to donate to Red Cross. Well, when Haiti happened, the earthquakes in Haiti, I donated to the Red Cross. Then all that fallout happened to where they weren't accountable for all the money. And since then, I was like, I'm not donating to Red Cross, all those people who take money, 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 money. What I wanted to do is, and now I'm at an age and a maturity level where I can actually help people, I'm going to start somewhere I can actually help them. If you got the means and the resources, there's no reason for you not to be able to put boots on the ground and go out and help people. To me, the easy part is just donating your money to Salvation Army and hoping to help somebody when you don't even really know where your money's going. So, what? To me, that was a very opportunistic thing he What's did by challenging everybody. That shit was crazy.
Well, hold on. Don't get too deep into that, because that's going to be our next topic, talking about Hurricane Harvey. No, you good. You good. That's a good teaser. But we can talk about just the fact that people are caping.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And people are trying hard to be remembered. They're trying, like they will never, ever be another Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Frederick Douglass, Megan Evers.
Absolutely not.
None of our heroes, they're not coming back. You don't, like, Marcus Garvey was not trying to be remembered. He was trying to be effective. Exactly. Malcolm X wasn't trying to be remembered. He was trying to be effective. Like, these guys didn't set out to be remembered. It just so happened because of their actions, just based off of their passion, they just so happened to be remembered by the historians. But history would never remember a person. Well, I take that back. History will remember people who are obsessed with history, but those people had the means and the resources to be obsessed with history. But
that's a fact.
You can't just wake up one day and just, I want to be remembered. I want to be, like, don't want to be a humanitarian. Just be a humanitarian. Just be out there. And then, like, a lot of these groups that I have, and you hear me complain about all the time, these mentor groups cherry pick, man.
Yeah, they do.
Like, the kids who need these groups are not in these groups. And that's it's like the mayor here. And I got to do a little more studying on this mentor group, but I know when I go into these hoods, a lot of these kids who need, like, positive mentors, they don't have them around, and they got these dope boys, and that's why they look up to these dope boys. Like, I was in projects, not this Friday, it was last Friday, doing HIV testing, and the dope, like, when we pulled up, we parked and everything, the dope boys sent the legit out to scout and see what's going on, because he working for them, he down with them. Because they see them all day, every day. And so the cats who trying to be remembered, hell, in your efforts to try to be remembered, hell, at least start there. But they start, start with the kids who going to make them famous, though.
And that's the disconnect of a lot of these people who are just trying to, you know, get that spotlight, get that CNN or Fox interview and argue and stuff like that. That's the disconnect. A lot of them aren't willing to actually put, you know, boots on the ground and get that temperature of what's going on in their respective areas and whatnot. They're kind of just doing it from the national level. And to me, it's sleight of hand because I ain't going to say the names, but you probably know who they are if you listen, you know, watch CNN. You see all these, they get snappy with interviews and they talk black this and black that. But as soon as you go to their Facebook page, you know, they selling T-shirts, you know, they Instagram modeling, whatever the case may be. And my thing is, cool, if you got a product to sell, that's awesome. And if it's, you know, helping you progress our efforts, you know, as a black community, that's even better. But a lot of them, it just seems like you just want to be famous with your efforts. And it's just like you said, Joe, let your actions make you famous. Not, you know, your theatrics or, you know, you causing attention to yourself. Let what you're actually doing, not talking, but what you're actually doing, make you famous. And to me, that's what separates, you know, a lot of these people who pretty much during the 60s, they killed all, you know, our respective black leaders, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, Edgar Evers, and all that kind of stuff. But since then, you haven't really seen anybody who's put their actions in the same place as their words. And that's why a lot of young people don't feel black people have a leader right now. Is it absolutely necessary we have a leader? No, we just need people doing the work. We just need people following up on the actions. Fuck the talking piece. We don't need talking heads. We got enough talking heads. We need people actually out there willing to, on the ground, do work, go to the hood and give HIV tests, X, Y, and Z. That's the more type of people we need. And honestly, it's a very, what's the word I'm looking for here? It's not a rewarding job. Hell, you probably won't get remembered. You probably won't get your name in the paper, X, Y, and Z. But guess what? The satisfaction you get is doing something to help. That's it.
Liberation ain't pretty. Liberation was not ever intended to be pretty. Liberation was not ever intended to be remembered. Liberation's job is just what it is, to be free, to be liberated, to be in a space where you have the resources and the ability and the mindset, free of oppression, free of tyranny, to self-actualize. That's what liberation is. Liberation has nothing to do with be remembered. That's what history is about. That's why all liberators carried historians. So, because it was just the historian's job just to document what happened in history, period. Period. Like in the West African cultures, like Mali, all kings had the griots or the jeles, and that job was to tell history, was to teach the king history and tell the history of the people. And each griot, his job was to learn each and every single aspect of history of their people. But see, that's the griot's job. But the king's job is not to try to be remembered, But the griot's job is to make sure that the king is remembered by his actions. And so the king is just going out doing what he's supposed to do as a king. Just do your job. Just do your part. Trying to do more, especially when you don't have the resources, won't get you remembered.
At all. At all. And it's hard work, too. And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand. Like, doing, trust me, I found out the hard way this week. Doing work that doesn't involve you trying to take the spotlight is hard work. Just to kind of, you know, I ain't going to go too much into it, but, you know, I'm running the canned goods drive right now for
Please give information on that real quick.
All right, so let me give you the background. So I refuse to give any more money to Red Cross or anybody like that, just through the simple fact there's no real accountability for where that money goes, where those goods go, X, Y, and Z. So I was like, you know, I'm to a point in my life where I'm mature enough to where I can start something on my own, and that's what I did. All I'm doing is going around collecting canned goods and donating them to local shelters right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. All the major food banks, they're stocked up, but it's the local shelters that are getting hit the worst because a lot of the evacuees aren't staying at the shelters. They're going to stay with friends and family, X, Y, and Z. And all I'm doing is collecting cans, people. Like that old can of beans you got in your pantry right now that you ain't going to cook. I'm asking for that little piece of can. It costs you 89 cents on the dollar. Like 89 cents. That's what I'm literally going. I'm getting it from the dirt. I'm going door to door asking people for cans. People acting like I'm asking them to, you know, come in the house and sleep on their posturpedic bed or something, man. I'm asking for cans. Cans, man. And, like, you know, I'm going through my own neighborhood. Like I said, I'm getting it from the dirt. I'm going door to door trying to get it. And people treating me like I'm asking them for goddamn, for money. For, like, I'm not even, I refuse to take, I've had plenty of people say, yo, I just want to give you money. And I'm like, nah, I don't want to take money. Reason why, I don't want that type of accountability. I know how it is when black people give you money. Y'all think you give me $2, I made a deal with the mafia. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to be transparent. I'm going to just collect cans, right? It's so hard to do stuff for people and, you know, and get that support. So I've been doing that for a week, and trust me, I can see how a lot of our leaders that are trying to promote the struggle get frustrated. You know, I'm just collecting cans. They're trying to save, you know, our communities, X, Y, and Z, and I can only imagine what they face.
But see, the thing is, we all got to remember that we're trying to be organized in the total midst of zombification and disorganization and disunity. Right?
So
you expect the train, that's like expecting the trained dog to guard your house, expect an untrained dog to guard your house.
And that's true. And now that I've ran into that brick wall of, you know, just people like, you know, brush me off, whether it be black people, whoever, I can see how leaders that are actually trying to, you know, make headway in the struggle of what we have here in the United States get so frustrated to the point where they might spaz out, they might snap X, Y, and Z, or just get frustrated to the point they want to give up. And like I said, I face this just collecting cans. I can only imagine what some of these guys that are boots on the ground face when they're actually trying to save lives.
How
crazy is that?
But see, even in the aspect of saving lives, even you can't even always just look at it in the form of disaster.
That's true too.
Like, just think about every day when nothing disastrous is going on, and you're still trying to save lives theoretically and practically, because systematically we are being killed off.
And I can only imagine what they're facing. That's the crazy part. I'm just getting canned. Now, I'm just getting canned. Bruh. Imagine what, you know, cats like you face that are out there trying to give HIV tests, trying to educate the neighborhood, the obstacles you face on a day-to-day basis. Like, I couldn't even imagine that.
Bruh. Remember, dog, you got to remember, Harriet Tubman, didn't Harriet Tubman say she would have freed 1,000 more people if they didn't know they were slaves?
Facts. That is a true fact. And, like, now that I'm at that point in life where I have that maturity level to where I can organize, I can get out there and put boots on the ground. Because when Katrina happened, and it's just talking about disasters right now, when Katrina happened, I didn't have that maturity level. When other events, I didn't have that maturity. But now I'm at that point in seeing it and putting that work. And the reason I really wanted to do this is because I wanted to learn how to organize to do things for people who need it the most. And I did not imagine hitting so many brick walls from people not only who look like me, people that come from backgrounds where they can actually, they have access. They have cans in their pantry they never going to use. Things that I never could imagine. When I started this, it was just a humble, I just want to help people. And just running into so many in corporate brick walls. I got turned down. Oh, yo, fuck Kroger. I love Kroger, but fuck Kroger. They wouldn't even let me go outside and just say, hey, could you get a can for this and collect cans?
Right.
Walmart wouldn't do it. I hit so many brick walls until I was like, I'm going to go door to door.
When I meet people and I say, and I ask them what they want to, like, why they do things, and I say, I just want to help people. I laugh at them.
God, it's difficult. I did not imagine hitting so, I'm like, yo, even local grocers, man, I'm like, yo, let me just go outside, sit in the parking lot, ask people if they want to donate a can. I'm not going to harass them, this, that, and other.
But once again, though, that's why it goes back to studying. You yourself have to do more of the studying and remember the studying that you've done about the psychology of a slave mindset. The psychology of an oppressed and the beat down mindset. Like, you have some people who we want, you can want to save somebody all you want, but that person has to want to be saved. And you already know that. But right. When it comes to activism, you forget that because you think that your genuineness for change is going to make people go along with what you want. And you have no idea how deep the well goes. That's why they keep talking about the rabbit hole, how deep the rabbit hole goes. Oh, this thing is layered. You're fighting a beast that's been going on for centuries. Like, world domination is nothing new. White supremacy is the newest installment in the, I guess you could say, the picture of world dominance. White supremacy is the newest and most sophisticated. So we got to be able to understand that, man.
Yeah, so that to me, man, I can only imagine what, you know, and now that I'm starting to really put boots on the ground and understand how I can be effective, this experience, and it's still going on, really taught me a lot about, you know, just how people think, man. When you come and you're really trying to get it from the dirt, you're trying to get it humble, people just don't believe in you. You know, you ain't got that force behind you. You ain't got that big name, or you ain't corporate, this, that, and the other. People just don't believe in you. And it's like, it's literally like, I'm literally like showing people, yo, this is where it's going. Look, here's a picture. Here's this. This is me doing this. And, like, to me, it feels cheesy because it's like, yo, I got to take all these pictures to show people, like, yo, I'm actually out here. If you give me the goods, I'm going to go put in the work. And I felt like, a part of me felt like, yo, you corny for posting these pictures. But the other part of me is like, people ain't going to believe you actually doing it unless see you doing it. You know what I mean?
The third thing is, you know, understanding the psychology of people once again, knowing what to put up and knowing how to post pictures and all these things here, and knowing the principles that you stand on and not violating the principles that you stand on. You're not trying to exploit people's weakness for your likes. But at the same time, on the other end, you want others who can give to give. But you have to be comfortable and you have to be accepting with what you get.
Absolutely.
And when we set expectations that are outrageous, I mean, because We are, especially Black America, we're not really in a true position to be able to help ourselves when disaster strikes.
Absolutely.
So that's why I guess it just naturally rolls into our next conversation, which is be our last, but disaster preparedness. We're not prepared for disasters. And that's something I encourage everybody in this city to start doing. Jamie, we got disaster preparedness information on the PACS Inc. site. So I would highly recommend you go and check that out. But it's being prepared for what might go wrong. And I know I'm going to do my best to do some disaster preparedness things here in town. Now, yeah, Tallahassee is not in the spot that may be bad, but last time we getting bad rain and the power going out.
Matter of fact, yeah, last year around this time, Tallahassee was out of power.
Right? With that? From that weak-ass hurricane that came. Man, I was outside during the hurricane. I swear I was outside. That weak-ass hurricane came through. But since Tallahassee itself is a canopy city, and we got so many beautiful trees. I love the trees. Don't cut down the trees. But we got so many canopy trees and so many power lines. The power lines should be underground, but they're not.
Yeah, that should have happened decades ago.
Yeah, so they that has a lot to do with it. But like where I live and the areas, like it's a handicapped area and over by us. And if that floods, how are we going to get the handicapped people out?
That's it. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like, it's a lot of, like, Tallahassee is a swamp city. It's on swamp plains, drained swamp plains. And when it rains, and it rains good, the land remember who it is, and it becomes conducive to swamp water.
And I think a lot of people, and I get it, you know, it's real, if you're in the everyday struggle, man, the last thing you worried about is something else. You just trying to get it. You know, paycheck to paycheck, whatever the case may be. It's so important because, like I said earlier, a lot of people don't understand the impacts of what this hurricane is going to do in the long run. This isn't just, you know, oh, all right, the water's going to go down, everybody's going to go back. No, homes are destroyed. Not even homes, businesses. People don't have jobs anymore. So after a while, when those savings go out and they can't pay that mortgage, and
now they're still charging.
Yeah, and yeah, the mortgage is still charging. And even the people whose homes didn't get completely destroyed, now they got mold in the house because the first floor got wet, all that kind of stuff. People really don't know the impacts. They're not going to know the impacts for months to come. So this, to me, it has the potential to be even worse than what a lot of people are going to be displaced from this hurricane. Right. Let's not get into a lot of people are going to be displaced.
And I'm coming.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, and even that, it's we're in hurricane season. Like, it's not going to be the only time it's over. This might be another hurricane that hits this area soon. So all those people that are displaced, it's just we got to start thinking ahead. Understand where you live at. If you live in a flood area, a lot of people in Houston did not even have flood insurance. Houston floods I've been to Houston twice. And the one thing that caught me off guard is I'm going off like the interstate and stuff like that. And they got like measuring sticks on the side of the road to tell you how high the water is if it actually floods in that area, X, Y, and Z, so you don't drive in and drown or something like that. And I've never seen anything like that. So to me, if you know those kind of things, yes, it costs extra money to get flood insurance, but you got to also prepare yourself for those things, make those sacrifices. That way you protect yourself, because there's a lot of people that don't have flood insurance that just lost their home. They lost everything. And they're not going to be able to get it all back. All this money people are donating to Red Cross, we don't know where the hell that's going. And we can't even say definitively if it's going to go to help people rebuild their lives there in Houston. As we can already see in New Orleans, if you can't come back, we're just going to gentrify the area, build some damn condos, and move your black ass the hell up out of there. So we got to – be prepared for the actual event, you know. Make sure, you know, I even try to keep, you know, some bottled water in the house, stuff like that, candles, you know, a little lighter joint. That way if a tornado hits this area, whatever the case may be. But also beyond that, make sure you plan ahead. Make sure you got your insurance game right. Make sure you know all those things. And make sure you have a backup plan if something goes all to hell. Because a lot of people right now, they're just going to give up. they're going to give up, and they're just going to move completely away from Houston because there's nothing in that city for them anymore. So what you're going to see is places like San Antonio, Austin, and Dallas actually get a population increase because people that were, you know, middle income to low income no longer have a way to make ends meet, and they have to go find employment elsewhere, and homelessness is going to go up. FEMA and all these other places, you're not just going to get money from them on your first request. It's a whole process. It's slow. It drags ass, just like everybody saw with Katrina. So we just got to be prepared financially. We got to be prepared to survive physically through all these things. And just be smart about stuff. If you know you're living in a low-lying area that can flood, have flood insurance.
But see, that's the thing, though. Like, we have to be able to put that type of stuff on our agenda and our list of importance. Like, I know in this city, we don't put disaster preparedness in our agenda of importance because we know that Tallahassee is in an area that's not going to be affected that bad by these hurricanes. Like, by the time hurricanes get here, we're going to get the rain. Some areas are going to flood. Like, some areas that we already know flood areas are going to flood. But it's not going to be anything, like, serious. Like, those people who are in those flood areas, we know that's going to happen. But because of the location of the city. But what if something actually happens and we're not prepared? Like, are the people on the East Coast really prepared for Irma? Because Irma trying to do, like, the hurricane that they did last year that went up the East Coast. So, I mean,
yeah,
like,
Sandy, yeah.
Like how many different disasters can Black America take at one time? It's like we're already out there in the protest. You're already trying to fight the Trump regime, trying to fight the protest, trying to take down statues, trying to help out with Houston, still trying to combat police brutality, still trying to help Flint. Still trying to take day-to-day issues that you're in your own city. It's like, it's so much that's happening, and we're not prepared or organized for anything. So let's try to at least be prepared for one thing, and, like, you know, shit. I mean, just think about it. Like, when you really think about all the things that we're up against, it can get overwhelming. Now, that's not me saying, I don't want nobody to think that I'm saying that we can't do it. Because we are remarkable people and we can do a lot. But it makes it even more difficult when we're not organized. And also when we refuse to be organized.
I'm sorry to cut you off. That is the key. Organization. If you live in a predominantly Black neighborhood, there's no reason for all you guys to displace. At that point, your natural instinct should be, I need to band with these people, and we're going to figure out a way to get through this. And you're seeing that in pockets in Houston, but you also don't see that in other arenas and stuff like that. Like, we shouldn't be worried about FEMA. If you're in a predominantly Black neighborhood, you got 10 men on the block, those men need to know how to provide and get everybody else to safety and this X, Y, and Z. That's the one way we can prepare. And I think, you know, I get it, you know, certain situations you can't prepare. But if you got 10 good brothers, man, we got to step up. We got to, hey, you go get some candles. We're going to build some shelter. We're going to figure this out. We're going to make it through. We got to start thinking like that because essentially what a lot of people are doing right now that the waters are still high, whether people don't know it or not, levees are still getting let loose. The water hasn't receded. So what you're seeing right now is people banding together and just surviving till they can get to that next step. And we got to start thinking like that when it comes to natural disasters. And one thing you did say, yes, we have all these other different things we got to focus on. Right. But the people that are being hurt the most, they shouldn't be having to focus on X, Y, and Z. That should be other pockets of people focusing on X, Y, and Z.
Right.
So we
find one thing to focus on to be organized about it.
Exactly. And organization, like, the codes of conduct, people, go to PAXing, God damn it. Learn how to be on code. Perfect example. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm sorry if I'm losing, it sounds like I'm losing my voice because I am. My damn Gators lost yesterday, and I lost my voice at a football game. But anyway, being on code, perfect example. The NFL boycott, all right? I don't care if you're on board or not. Here's my thing. Do I think it's going to be effective in X, Y? Not really. I really don't. But guess what? If that's what we're going to be on code about, fuck it. I ain't watching the games. I'm not playing fantasy football. I'm going to just opt out. Not because I solely agree with it, this, that, and all that. No, if that's what the plan is, that's what we're doing, fuck me arguing. Let me get on cold and make sure I stick with what I'm supposed to do. And we got to have that mentality because a lot of the Asian community has it, the Jewish community has it. Once they decide on something, it's not a bunch of little, you know, small groups saying, oh, no, I don't agree with it. They just say, okay, cool, that's what we're doing, that's what we're doing, and just go with it. We got to start thinking like that, not just in the other world, but in disaster situations as well.
But see, even in that boycott, my problem with the boycott is, what are we boycotting? Why are we boycotting?
I agree.
We don't even know why we boycotting. There's not a collective sense because the majority of the people want Kaepernick to get a job. A small percentage of the people that are like me want. We don't want to boycott the NFL. We want to stop watching the NFL as a whole and build our own league. That's what we should be working toward. Not a boycott, but a pullout. Total pullout. I know a lot of dudes got a problem pulling out, but with this one, we got to get our pullout game strong on this one.
Oh, man, I got two kids, so my pullout game is weak as fuck.
Hey, man, I got to stop being so good with my pullout game.
But, no, I get it. And like I said, and I can't even justify it, but I'm like, if that's what we on code about, F it. I'm going to just get on code.
Well, let me ask you this. All right. For all, because I saw a lot of brothers who talking about boycott the NFL paid money to watch Floyd and McGregor. So, and I'm not saying that because Floyd and McGregor fought that we should boycott, but what I am saying is, if we should be in the mindset of we're not going to give our attention to things that we shouldn't be giving our attention to. We're not going to give our attention to things that don't benefit us. Like right now, we should be focused on that boycott. I didn't think that much attention that was given to that fight should be given to that fight. We lost momentum 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
From boxing to now college football. We lost momentum. It's one thing if the majority of us could actually just, you know, be like, view the event and get back to work, or even be working while the event is going on. But a lot of us get lost into the event, shut down, nothing happens, and then we get back to the boogie. And that can't happen. So it's like, we lost a lot of momentum. So it's like, are we even really serious about this boycott? But once again, if we're only boycotting just to get Kaepernick a job, then we're tripping. Man, we're way off our topic of disaster preparedness. But
yeah, we are.
I just thought about that. But that's my thoughts on the boycott. But as far as disaster preparedness, like I say, PAX Inc. On the website, if you go to the website, you go to the More tab, hover your mouse over the More tab, another tab will pop up that says Learning Center. Scroll down to where it says Survival. Click on the Survival tab. We have information for the black community that we can use to help survive, to help us in survival situations. We even actually have a section for flooding.
And the thing is, with a lot of people, is you'd rather be safe than sorry. I get it. A lot of these precautions you might take will be a little bit more expensive, having flood insurance, X, Y, and Z. Some people can't afford it. I get it. But if you're of means and you can afford that stuff, rather be safe than sorry. Every car I got, I get like the maximum protection plan for number one. If this damn car break, you gonna go fix it. Like, I'm not finna be out of pocket, you know, grands because this car is trash. So I get it, you know, the people who can't don't have the means, I completely understand, I sympathize. But the people who can, you know, afford those things, rather be safe than sorry. And know where you're living at, people. Like, I know in this area, around this time, when it's, you know, hurricane season, Texas is going to see hurricanes, we're going to see, you know, rapid weather changes and stuff like that. So during these times, I make sure I prepare myself. Even when I lived up north, I lived in the ass crack of the United States, which is Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota. That's like the ass crack of the United States. It's the coldest place on earth, in my opinion, even though it's not. But even then, when I drove, I took road trips, I made sure I had like water in my car, some beef jerky, some little, a blanket. That way, if I got trapped in a snow blizzard, that jerky's going to keep me alive. That water's going to keep me hydrated. and those blankets that will keep me warm just in case I got to survive out there, you know, in my car until somebody come and get me. You got to be proactive in how you prepare for stuff or you're going to be sorry. So just be cognizant of your surroundings, where you're at, your environment, X, Y, and Z. As the season changes, as you move different locations, be cognizant of those things. Like, that's so important for us.
Right, right, right. And like I said, man, get as much information as possible on learning more about disaster preparedness. Get as much information about disaster preparedness as you can, so you can be successful. You can make it. Like, we're not making it. Like, we're at the bottom of the rung of everything that goes wrong, and when it goes wrong in other places, it's just horrible for us. So we have to understand that. But like that, like, being proactive is the key. Like, I can't even get my words out right, but being proactive is the dang on key.
Yes.
If you're not being proactive, you're tripping. Like, you got to be. We have to be proactive, and we can do more to protect ourselves and be able to survive more. But we have to put the effort better more. We have to. Like, we're doing a lot of. It's not enough of us that are prepared for the inevitable, and we need to be prepared for the inevitable. Like, I'm all like this girl I know. I'm always talking. I'm always getting on her about going out of town and not saying nothing. Like, people should know that you're going out of town. Like, don't just jump up and go out of town. Like, you ain't got no knife, no gun, no taser. Are you just going? And you, like, stop acting like you don't know what's going on in this world. Like, don't be the person who is oblivious to what's going on, or to be the person who say, well, this ain't gonna happen to me. Hey, man, look. If you don't think, run up on me if you want to. I stay strapped.
Joe, I'm glad you said that. And I'll just give you kind of a personal perspective when it comes to preparedness, even in a disaster event or whatever the case may be. People, it is vitally important that you understand you have the right to bear arms, all right? That doesn't just apply to a certain segment of America. That applies to every United States citizen, as long as you don't have any felony convictions, whatever the case may be. Get your license to carry and make sure you have a firearm. Because what a lot of reports were coming out in Houston was people were getting robbed. They thought they were getting rescued, and people were going into their house and robbing them at gunpoint. And my thing is, it's like, if a disaster pops off, I got my pistol, I'm ready to go. You ain't finna run up in here, but that's just to protect myself, and we got to start thinking like that. But I get the fear that comes along with, you know, having a firearm. You feel like, you know, now you're a target.
Yeah, but that's because you're not prepared, and that's because you're not trained.
Yeah, and exactly. But a lot of people, and I get it, you know, they have that. They see what's going on out here in the news, and it's like, nah, I ain't going to carry a weapon. I'm not going to have a weapon. I'll only get shot or be misconstrued in the situation.
Or they're covered in the blood. Or they're covered in the full armor.
At the end of the day, I believe in God and all that good stuff, but also believe God allowed me to have my pistol, and I'm going to make sure I exercise my Second Amendment right. People, if you are a citizen without any felonies, there's no reason why you should not own a firearm, because that broke my heart when I was hearing about people in Houston, people needing help, going around getting robbed by these, I don't care, I don't know what race they were, I don't care who they were, but to me, it's just like, that's somebody being unprepared. Because I saw a video clip of a guy was like, yo, black dude, I got my shotty, I'm here, I'm waiting and ready. And I want to see stuff like that, because it prevents other people from taking advantage of you when you're in a disadvantaged state. And we got to understand, when it comes to that stuff, don't think everybody's coming with a helping hand. Make sure you're prepared to defend yourself. And got you. I'm telling you, if you're able to apply for concealed weapons carry, if you're able to purchase a weapon, there's no reason why right now you shouldn't be exercising your Second Amendment right. It just doesn't make sense. You have the right to bear arms. It doesn't have a sentence in the air saying this race or that. Black people got to stop being afraid of being responsible gun owners. I'm not talking about these idiots that are going to go out and go do stupid shit, but law-abiding citizens, go get yourself a firearm. Please.
Straight up. Man, and the final thing we wanna talk about before we close the show out is all you soft-ass Negroes out here caping for Joel Osteen.
Oh, fuck Joel Osteen. Oh, my God. I didn't think you were going to talk about that, but fuck him.
Hey, no. I'm not mad at Joel Osteen for being racist and being not can't. I mean, come on, man. Joel, like, not just racist, but being inhumane. Like, I'm not mad at a lion for being a lion. I'm not mad at a cobra for being a cobra. You know,
right.
I'm not mad at Fadoodoo for being stank. But what I'm mad at is especially Negroes who really thought Joel Osteen cared about them. Like, why? What has he showed in the past that he cared about you? Like, the dude congregation over 10,000 people, he don't know you. But it's like all the black people who caping, who posting videos trying to explain Joel Osteen's position and all these things. Shut up. Stop. Take your cape off, man. White people don't like you. White supremacy don't like you. It never has and it never will. You are nothing but a pawn in the game. Take your cape off. Like somebody talking about, well, the reason why Joel Osteen didn't act immediately because his basement had flooded and all these things. So why didn't he say that? Why are you saying that for him, Mr. Black Person? Why are black people, look, I mean, well, I understand. Let me start asking why. All I'm saying is, that's not, y'all stop trying to cape for Joel Osteen. I understand your mind is so warped and you really think that this position that you playing is a righteous position. I get that from you. I get that. I understand why you quote unquote coon. I get that. But what you have to understand in the midst of your cooning is it has never really helped your position overall. And then never really have the opposition. Because in the end, when it all crumbles, you crumble with him. But you trying to take position for Joel Osteen, somebody that you don't know and never will never meet, ain't helping anything. Shut up.
Yo.
Sit your dumb ass down.
Yo. So, I'm going to be quite honest. If you're cape crusading for Joel Osteen, you're an idiot. First of all, we know the church was not flooded. He admitted that himself in video evidence. The receipts are out there. His church wasn't flooded. He even said he was waiting for the city of Houston to request his services.
Right.
X, Y, and Z. So here's my thing with all of that. And people want to dismiss everything now that he's opened up the church after the memes start rolling and he can start getting lit up on social media. Well, the church is open now. Anybody going to get... Hell no. He's not... He's not, you know, forgiven at this point. At the end of the day, the church, the reason why they don't pay taxes is because they provide a service to the community. That's the main reason why they don't pay taxes. So it's not like the Osteen Church, Lakewood is what the church is called. It's not like they didn't know a hurricane was coming. It's not like they didn't know it would get bad X, Y, and Z. So if I have knowledge of these things, wouldn't I prepare to start becoming a shelter at that point? Does that not make sense? He's saying the church is inaccessible. Well, hey, dumbass, nobody's going to drive up to the church. People are going to get there however way they can. And to say, oh, it was a safety hazard, we have some minor... Damn that. There was businesses right in that vicinity of where his church is located that were open and helping people who needed shelter X, Y, and Z. So he lied. The church lied. But here's one key thing. Before he opened up his doors, Joe, he had a splash page on the Lakewood website that was accepting donations for the flood. How fucked up is that? And so to the black people, I'm going to be quite honest, man. A couple of cats from Texas. I think Slim Thug, Lil Kiki, and motherfuckers like that. They were cape crusading for Joel Osteen. I love these dudes, but y'all gotta realize that, yo, stop defending this dude. He is not above criticism. He deserves to be criticized, and people should see him for what he is now, along with all the rest of these mega church pastors and shit like that.
Man, if Joel Osteen was such a Christian like he said he was, he would have been spoke out against racism and police brutality and all that stuff there.
But that's the thing with people, especially with the black community. I get it, man. You know, we get beat up every day, and it's hard. You know, it's tough. It can be traumatic, whatever the case may be. So religion of any sort, and I'm not just picking on Christianity, religion of any sort, Islam, whatever the case may be, always feels a little bit more, you know, it's soothing, it helps us cope, this, that, and the other, so we use religion as a coping mechanism. Whatever the case may be, I'm not knocking your religion. Be whatever the hell you want to be. Who am I to tell you not to be X, Y, and Z? Believe whatever you want to believe in, but we got to look at facts, people. We got to see stuff for what it really is and stop practicing this blind faith and acting like the things you hear, see, are different because you believe X, Y, and Z. Facts are facts. That's it. That guy lied. His church lied. That church wasn't flooded out like everybody thought it was. It wasn't. He even knew he built a flood wall for those purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like this is some building with one layer. It used to house Rockets games. Like, are you kidding me?
Right. Like it's not subject to flooding if it housed Rockets games. Mm-hmm. Come on, people. But it's just people are.
They're mystified. That's it.
Yeah. And so quick to jump in and try to cape and save. For somebody, Joel Osteen don't care about black people, man.
Fuck Joel Osteen. And fuck his little bullshit ass mullet fro he has growing. And people might get mad at that comment, but I'll say that about a lot of people.
Fuck Joel Osteen.
Like,
hey, I'll back it up. Fuck. We should make that a soundbite. Fuck Joel Osteen.
And my thing is, it's just how disingenuous he was about the whole event. And how he literally got on TV and twisted. Like, Angelot, that's a smooth-talking-ass dude. Like, man, he is a smooth-talking. And he pretty much talked himself out of being criticized because they were like, oh, well, the church is open now. All right, everybody. Well, what are you doing for Houston now? Because his church is open. What are you doing? And they start deflecting this, that, and other. I'm not deflecting shit. No. Why weren't you open when people needed help? Why did it take you three days to help people?
Like, when it comes to hurricanes, I don't be wanting to hear that because you can prepare for a hurricane. You can see it coming. It's not like a tornado. A tornado can just pop up. Hurricanes, you can see. You can predict they coming 2 weeks out. So yeah. I don't want to hear this.
I agree. And that's why That to me is where the Osteen sympathizers lose me, because he knew about it and he could have been proactive and say, you know what, let's go ahead and start getting these supplies ready. I know the city's gonna need us. No, he waited. If social media wouldn't got in his ass and people wouldn't have showed up to that church and started posting videos, he would have never opened that church, and we know it. And that's not Christian-like. That's not godly. And who is he to be above reproach? Is he without sin? No. Criticize his ass. Hold his feet to the fire. And everybody's. And I've seen people like, I know my pastor.
Don't talk about my pastor.
Yeah. Here's the thing. People's like, thinking because of the Joel Osteen situation, every pastor's like this. Well, I personally know my pastor. Well, a lot of y'all thought y'all knew y'all passed until he was jumping out of windows. So kill me with that fuck shit. These guys are not above reproach. They need to be criticized, and they need to be held to the fire. They need to put their feet to the fire.
In this particular one, you know, just for the people who listen, this is not an attack on Christianity. This is an attack on Joel Osteen and his lying ass.
Thank you.
And his hairstylist.
Yeah, that fucking mullet for us is awful.
But man, Joel Osteen, one of the ones that I never thought was real. I always thought Joel Osteen was fake, even when my mom used to listen to him back in the day. So, fuck Joel Osteen. Hey, man, look here, man. If you got a problem with that, hey, man, maybe you need to, I don't know, hell, fuck yourself. I don't know if you got a problem with that. Because, I mean, we, right here, it's about right and wrong, and your boy was wrong. So, I don't know.
And that's what it all comes down to. Was he wrong? Yes. Let's deal with that. Don't just say, okay, well, he opened up the church now, so let's forget about all this. To me, that's bullshit. Let's criticize him like we criticize everybody else. Like, stop.
Right. Like you criticize your auntie, your cousin, your mama, your brother, your sister. Hey, pastors are not above anything just because they pass. They not Jesus. Hey, man, but hey.
Right. And Jesus would have went into Lakewood. This is in the Bible. When Jesus goes into the church and sees people selling and doing all this kind of stuff that is another church, flipping over tables, whipping people and all that kind of stuff, you think Jesus would have walked into Lakewood and be like, all right, I see why you closed this now. Use some fucking common sense, people. Like, stop that bullshit.
Right, right. Hey, man, look here. It's the Freedom Train. I love it. 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 The conversation we get into. Hey, man. Once again, my book is available now on the Shores of Giants, Volume 2, Central America. You can go to my website, www.ontheshoulders.org, to purchase it, or you can go to my blog site, www.ontheshoulders1.com. Make sure you check me out. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ontheshoulders1. After you buy the book, you can buy the book in print format. You go to my website to get it in print. You go to Amazon. Go to the Kindle site to get it in the Kindle. You go to Audible to get On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 2 Central America in the audiobook format. And we ready to roll. I mean, it's going down. Shoot, what else we got coming up?
Nah, I'm going to plug my relief efforts, if you don't mind.
Yeah, plug your relief efforts and your podcast one more time.
So we got Operation Hard Relief going down right now. So, like I said earlier, a lot of people, the North Dallas Food Bank, all those places, they're taking donations as well, but it's really getting stressed out of local pantries. So I'm partnership. I formed a partnership with the local pantries right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Right now we're focusing on the Cedar Hill Pantry. We're trying to get them stocked up as much as we can because a lot of families don't go to the shelters. They go to stay with friends and families and things like that, and those families need that extra support, that food and stuff, to make sure, they get through these tough times. So if anybody who's looking to donate just canned goods, you can mail it. Or you can go on Walmart or whatever you shop at and get these canned goods sent to these local pantries. The first one I'm working with is out in Cedar Hill. So label it Operation Harvey Release, Harvey Relief, I'm sorry. Address 403 Houston Street, Cedar Hill, Texas, 75104. You can send it directly to them or you can send it to me. My work address, 707 North Highway 67, Suite 110B, Cedar Hill, Texas, 75104. And the whole premise with that is to basically get these goods and make sure people are getting the help they need. I know a lot of people don't trust Red Cross and all these major organizations. I assure you, you send it to me, I'm going to get it to the people who need it. I did that just because I wanted to help. I wanted to be a blessing to other people. So if you get me the goods, I'm going to deliver them for you. All right. The
Can
podcast
I add this one more time.
Nah, the address 403 South Houston Street. 403 Houston Street, not South. 403 Houston Street, Cedar Hill, Texas 75104. Or you can mail it directly to my office, 707 North Highway 67, Suite 110B, Cedar Hill, Texas. 75104.
The podcast.
Cognac Convos. Cognac bitches. I shouldn't have said bitches, but whatever. So Cognac Convos is coming out. I'm working on that, and I'm gonna just get it started, man. Because what I want to really do with this podcast is just kind of get opinions from people who listening in. And just talk about stuff, man, whatever the issues, whether it be relationships, hot topics that are going right now in the country, whatever the case may be, we're going to cover it, and we're going to spit some real game about it, and we're going to have fun with it, man. So be looking for that. That should be coming out very soon. I'm going to make sure that comes out very soon, and we're going to get it to y'all, man.
That is. And remember, my new podcast, The Fix, The first episode will be available Thursday on the 7th. The Fix is sports told from a black perspective, but I'm also talking about sports, politics, hip-hop, culture, history, all these things wrapped in one, as well as long as it pertains to sports. So, like I had to get on Lonzo Ball last, he was talking about, he said, this fool said, nah, it's the hip-hop future, and me go to this Lonzo Ball, sucker ball.
Sit your ass down.
How about that? How about that? Hey, man, it's the Freedom Train Podcast. You know how we do. Rolling into... Oh, thank you for riding with us for the month of August.
Oh,
with
yeah.
Our mental health awareness campaign. We appreciate all the love that we got from everybody, all the comments, the views, the shares, the likes, the conversation that we were able to have with people about mental health awareness, and the conversation has continued, and we will be talking more about that. So thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody who... rock with us for our mental health awareness month. So you know how we do, man. Now, I'm Joseph Ward. He's Jamie Basham. This is the Freedom Train. Peace.
You.